can be found on page 17 in your pew Bibles. This is the call of Abram. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to a land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions that he had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Our second reading comes from Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And this is Abraham justified by faith. What men shall say about Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter. If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts in God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited in righteousness. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Let's begin by prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for how you provide for each and every one of us here today. We do ask that you'd come and dwell among us here, that you'd open your word to us so we might know your will, what you would have us to do in our lives. Touch each one of us here today, for we do ask all things through Jesus, your Son. Amen. You know, there's a old story told about someone, about a person who went to church and to listen to a pastor's first sermon. And then he was questioned by someone else going out as he left the church. And the guy said, "Well, he wasn't bad. You know, he talked about faith and sin, but I wasn't certain which one he was for." Today we're going to talk about faith, and I'm for it, especially if it's honest faith. And I'm certain many of you had scratching your head and said, "What in the world is he talking about, honest faith?" Well, as we looked at our scriptures today, I wanted to remind you of Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and for certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." David reminded us in Psalms 2:11. He says, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." And then Paul, in his writing to Philippians, he said, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his purpose." I mean, all this, but there'd be scripture to talk about is having an honest faith. An honest faith is what Abraham had. I mean, that's what Paul wrote about. That's what Paul wrote. He said it was credited to him as righteousness. So being that this was the second Sunday of the Lenten season, Jim, in case any of you picked up on a little misquote in our bulletin, I thought we had to talk about this a little bit. We had to talk about faith. So there's a couple of definitions of faith. So as a noun, what do you look at it as? So one faith. So faith is what? Tenets we believe here, right? I mean, what is a tenet? Who's got a good definition of a tenet? Anybody? I don't see any volunteers. So it's principal beliefs or doctrines generally held to be true. I mean, you can belong. But the tenets we have are what we hold to. That's what our faith, that's what we believe, right? So the second thing about faith is a verb, right? So it's an action. So it's your half of the relationship between you and God. I mean, we characterize it like acceptance or confidence, trust. You know, it's like faith. It's like have faith in your doctor, right? So if you have faith in your doctor, what do? You go, you see him, right? He prescribes the medicine. And if you have a nagging wife like I do, it's like you take it. And you actually follow his advice. We have trust in what he tells us, right? That's what faith is about. That's what honest faith is. Honest faith also comes from, sometimes it's from people we know from around us, right? People we've met by chance or maybe by going to church. And it's a relationship we have with husbands and wives or, you know, our siblings and fellow believers. I mean, it's a building a relationship of trust, isn't it? And it's usually based on facts or stuff we've learned about them or stuff we know for certain. And that's the kind of trust we build. We build faith. Don't we want to do the same thing with God? I mean, when we build faith in somebody else, sometimes we may look at somebody else and it may take a little bit longer because you just don't like the looks of them. I mean, sometimes that's the way it goes. It's hard to do. So Paul, in his writing to us, to the Romans here, he says, we need to develop this relationship with God. So if we have faith in God, what really is that? It's to trust in God. It's an inspired confidence when you think about that. So what is the difference between faith and sin? So sin is what? It's turning away from God. It's putting your trust in someone else. So being faithful is being honest with God and also being honest with yourself. That's why I'm referring to this as honest faith, because we need to be faithful not only to God, but in our witness and how we talk to God. I mean, that's what it's all about, really, isn't it? So think about it. So what is it to be honest with God? What is it to be honest with ourselves? Because we know if we're honest with ourselves, we're honest with God, it's going to bring us what? Peace, isn't it? We're going to be able to be filled with peace. We're going to find it. And that's what God wants us to do. How do we become honest? So, first thing that we need to know about being honest in our faith, right, is that you can't do anything by yourself. You can't save yourself. You can't find salvation through yourself. It all has to come through who? Through Christ. It all comes from God. We have to understand that, right? It's really hard to do. I mean, I think of the story of the couple were living out in California. They were living out in Southern California, somewhere out there on the San Andreas fault line. All of a sudden, this big earthquake comes, and these two little old hillbillies are in the shack, and the roof's just shaking. And the wife comes running in. She says, John, the earth's coming to an end. We're going to fall and we're going to die here today. John, he's sitting in a chair and looking at his paper. He looks up. He says, it's all God's, ain't it? What kind of attitude do we have when we come to tragedies? When Satan's befall us, isn't it God's anyway? Isn't that the kind of faith we need to have? Isn't that being honest with yourself, knowing that you can have peace no matter what tragedy happens in your life? Honest faith. Paul writes, he's teaching us about grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So he writes about the significance of Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection for believers. And he helps his readers to understand salvation is by grace through faith. And then he tells us that its roots came from the Old Testament. So he really challenges us here, doesn't he? Paul challenges us in this writing of these first five verses in chapter 4. He challenges us to develop an honest faith. So how are we to develop that? He tells us, he gives us two good things. He says, so one, we need to learn that when God says go, we need to go. We need to stay, right? And second thing, we have to understand and believe constant in our faith is that God gives us grace. And he gives us the grace if we worship in spirit and in truth. So I got looking at Genesis, and I got looking at the story of Abraham. Help me try to understand this a little bit better. So when I was looking at them, so you start here, read the whole, if you want to read the whole story of Abraham and Genesis, it starts out like chapter 11. It kind of jumps from here to there. Chapter 11 is all about the Tower of Babel. And all of a sudden, he's going to call Abraham. So now he calls Abraham, and he tells us this story about Abraham, how he calls him. And this all happened about 2,000 years ago. So Abraham, he's called from his country, and he takes his kin with him and all his possessions and all this goes with him. And he says, what did he say to him? In chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, he says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I make your name great. And you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So God promises him what? His land and descendants. So what's he do? He goes to Egypt, then he goes to Cana. I mean, and he's there, and he rescues Lot, his cousin, because Lot gets captured, And he even helps out the king of Sodom to defeat his enemies. And all this is happening. Every time he comes to God, God reminds him of the blessings that he promised. Well, if you keep reading that, pretty soon you figure out that things didn't always go the way that Abraham wanted them to go. He's getting on there in years, and God promised him descendants, didn't he? Can you imagine one day, Abraham, he just wanted to talk to God and said, you know, God, you promised me I'm just going to have a child where I'm going to have descendants so numerous you couldn't count them. You do realize that I'm 100 years old, and Sarah, she's about the same, and I'm going to die here anytime now, and my inheritance is going to go to the slave. Can you imagine that? And what's Paul writing here? Think about that. Is Abraham the father of faith? We see the hero of faith. He questions God, doesn't he? I thought about that. Isn't that what honest faith is really about? It's not being afraid to question God. When's the last time you asked God why something happened? Why you questioned him? Why you questioned your own faith? Because if we're going to be honest with God, we have to be honest with ourselves. So maybe you ought to be asking yourself the same question first. Because to have honest faith is to exercise our faith, is to put it into action. Look at it as if you were an athlete and you're in training, right? I mean, if you're going to train to be in the Olympics or anything, you need to exercise your muscles, right? You need to work out.
Well, faith is the same way. If you don't exercise that faith, if you don't put it to the test, if you don't challenge it, if you don't twist it and turn it every way out in, how do you know it's really faith? How do you know it's honest faith? How do you know that God gave you faith? I remember praying lots of times, Father, give me the faith to do whatever I need to do today. And every time I look back, and I can see that he did. I thought, think about this myself, and we've been talking about in Sunday school class, which you should join us at 8:30. We've been sharing stories of and talking about what it is to have Christ in us, to be in Christ, out of the book of Colossians. And we realize who we are by exercising our faith. But it has to be an honest faith, because we have to be honest with ourselves to know that when we talk to God, we can ask him anything. He understands what we are and what we need. But we need to be honest enough, be able to admit to ourselves that we can't do it by ourselves, that we have to have his help. We have to have his hand touch our lives. But the only way we can do that and to know him that well is to exercise our faith in our community, in those who surround us, in what we do each day. I mean, each day, if you get up each morning and you open your Bible, read one verse. Trust me. The next morning, you won't be able to do that. You'll want to read two. Then you'll want to read three. The next thing you know, you'll find yourself, you spent an hour there reading the Bible just trying to understand what God had for you that day. And you'll want to run out and exercise your faith because you've been telling your neighbor, you know what I read this morning? I had this thought come to my mind. And guess what? God showed me. What do you want me to do today? If you do that, if you pray to him constantly, Paul taught us that we need to be continually in prayer because we are in Christ and he is with us. Honest faith. That's what Abraham had. So now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's what the ancients were commended for. I mean, we've seen Christ. We know Christ in our hearts. And our faith in him is our righteousness. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, help us to become honest with you and with ourselves and how we believe in you and have faith in you. Help us to put our faith in action. And not to be afraid or concerned. Help us to be like Abraham. To be able to question you and we're not sure of what or what you would have us to do. Guide us in all that we do. We do pray this through Jesus. Amen.